Okay, Leket Amarim, page Kuf Yud Zayin. The piece is entitled Hayom Im Bekolo Tishmo. Today, if you listen to my voice. So Rabbi Nachman has a famous Torah. It's a very short Torah, but it's a very important Torah to live with. It's in Likutei Moran 272. He gives us a couple of lines from it right here. Ki ein la'adam ba'olamo ki im oso hayom va'oso ha'shah sha'omed ba. He's commenting on a pasuk in Tehillim, Hayom im Bekolo Tishmo. Today, if you listen to his voice. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says that one of the Tanaim was once visited by Eliyahu Navi and said, when's Mashiach coming? And he said, Hayom, today. Wow, today, that's great news. No, the day came and went, and Mashiach didn't come. So I think it was Rishu ben Levi. At a time, they went to Eliyahu and said, no, what's the pshadi? Are you telling me Mashiach's coming today? You said Hayom. So he said, that's right, I did say Hayom. But what I meant was Hayom in Bekolo Tishmo. Mashiach's ready to come today as long as we do our part. So what is this inyan of Hayom in Bekolo Tishmo? So Rabbi Nachman explains, people become utterly paralyzed by my past, by my future, right? Regret over the past, anxiety over the future, it could be totally paralyzing. And it's totally out of your hands, meaning that's the irony of it. You can't do anything about it. Right? Well, what do you mean? I could plan for my future and I could do tshuva on my past. Okay, great. So that you can do. But in terms of just worrying, lamenting the past, or being anxious about the future, lamaisa, that doesn't help me to have a productive day. So Rabbi Nachman develops this idea. And it's really what David HaMelech is screaming at us, Hayom im Bekolo Tishmo, that Yiddishkeit is meant to be experienced one day at a time. If you try to do too much at once, if you're trying to figure out your five-year plan, you're asking for trouble. That doesn't mean you shouldn't be thoughtful about your future. And it doesn't mean you shouldn't make a chashvan hanafesh on your past. But there has to be this awesome ability for a Jew to be able to live in the moment. To be able to live in the moment. So Rabbi Nachman says again, ki ein la'adam ba'olamo ki im oso hayom va'oso ha'shah sha'omid bo. A person doesn't have in the world, he doesn't have bailus over anything, he doesn't have control over anything except for the day in which he finds himself and in the moment in which he finds himself. I should have gotten up earlier this morning. Okay. So therefore what? So now I should be upset now and have a bad morning because I didn't get up the time I wanted to get up this morning? Lamaisa, I'm here right now. What do I want to do with the next moment? How do I want to feel towards Hashem in this moment? Ah, but last night, if you know what I did last night, okay. Not saying it's hefker, but Lamaisa, I have to be able to grab on to the moment that's in front of me. This, by the way, is one of the big, big techniques of our biggest enemy, who's known as Amalek. Amalek tries to destroy the moment. Malik tries to destroy the moment in which we find ourselves. That's why it says, Rashis Goyim Amalek, they're called the first of nations. The Svarma Kedoshim say, Rashis Goyim Amalek is Rashi Tevos Rega. Rashis Goyim Amalek. Rega means the moment. There's different ways to say pshat in that. One pshat is that Amalek wants you to lose out on the hove by getting you too worried about your past and too worried about your future. Where do we see that very clearly by Amalek? It says at the end of Parshas B'Shalach, Ki Yad Al Kes Ka, Melchaba LaHashem B'Amalek Midor Dor. We spoke about it a little bit the other week in the context of Dalet and Resh. But it says that Amalek places their hand on Hashem's throne. Ki Yad Al Kes Ka. Right? What is Ka? Yod and Hey. Amalek blocks out the letters of Hashem's name, Vav and Hey. Kiyad al kase. What's kase? Rashi says kase is kisei, but Amalek is blocking out the aleph. Hashem's name yud kei vav kei. Amalek blocks out the vav and the hey. So kiyad al kase, kisei in an obscured way, ka yud and hey, with the vav and hey being blocked out by Amalek. So the Svarma Kedoshim explain, Hashem's name yud kei vav kei represents haya hove vihya. Interesting. To make past. What letters do you need to make the past? Haya. What was? You need a yod and a hey. What letters do you need to make the future? Yudin Hay, Yihyei, right? What letters do you need to be able to be a functional person in the Hove? You need the Vav and Hay. And that's what Amalek blocks out. Amalek blocks out the Vav Hay. Amalek says, I'll give you all the Yod Hay you want. I'll give you all the past you want. I'll give you all the future, right? As long as I can get you thinking too much about the past and worrying too much about the future, so then I'll spoil the moment. And Lamaisa says, Rabbi Nachman, the only thing we have is the moment. Hayom and Bekol HaTishmo. The only thing we have in front of us is this rega. Reishas Goyim Amalek. Amalek says, nah, we're going to spoil this moment. We're going to exploit this moment. Our greatest enemy in history, which in many ways is Mekusher to Amalek, the most devious merger in history, and there's quite a few. There's Yishmael and Esav coming together to make a shidduch. There's a lot of bad guys joining together. Bilam and Balak, the Svarim say, the Zohar says, is really the scariest moment ever. And of course, what does Bilam try to do? Bilam tries to curse the Jewish people. And how does Bilam try to curse the Jewish people? By exploiting the what? Ki rega ba'po chayim birtzono. He tries to grab onto that singular moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry, and he tries to mahapich it into the destruction of Klal Yisrael. Which of course, Artosos and Avodah Zarah wonders, how could he destroy the Jewish people in a moment? Bachevra, forget Tosos' answer for a second. How do you destroy someone in the moment if a person can't appreciate the value of a moment? If I can't live in the now because I'm too worried about the big picture, so then my whole life goes out the window with paranoia and anxiety and regret and trepidation of the uncertainty of life. Yes.
What about the Aleph in Kisei?
What about it?
I just read you mentioned that the Aleph is also being blocked.
Yeah. What to do with that? Yeah. There's a lot of things we do with it. But in terms of Hashem's name, which is Hayahovia, Amalek steals the Hova. Right? And that's why every year when we come to Rosh Hashanah, Atem Nitzavim Hayom, we read Parshas Nitzavim. Rosh Hashanah is called Hayom. It's a Zohar, it's a Rashi at the beginning of Sefer Iov, spoke about it. Hayom is a code word for Rosh Hashanah. What's a code word for Tshuva? Ata, Ayin, Tuf, Hey, Now. Hayom is a code word for Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because if I got things wrong last year, it's because sometimes I didn't appreciate the value of a moment. I didn't understand that if I did an Aveira yesterday, I'm still allowed to come on time to Shir today and learn unbelievably well. Yeah, but I know tomorrow I'm going to miss Shir because I have a big test. So what? That is a malik. It's an amalik cheshvan and nefesh. So what? Right now you're here. Yeah, but... Right now, you have a moment to serve Hashem. So do it. So serve Hashem. Like the Heiliga Mashpia of Chabad, Rav Mendel Futterfass, once said, what is the holiest place, the holiest person, the holiest time? They're asking, by a Febrengen, he was asking people, no, what's the holiest place? Kodesh Kadashim. Who's the holiest person? Moshe Rabbeinu. Wrong. What's the holiest time? It's holiest time. What's the holiest time? I don't know. The moment of Tkiyah Shofar. Wrong. The holiest person is you. The holiest place is here. And the holiest time is now. That's what he told people. Lagabe, your life, that's the right answer. Not once upon a time there was a Moshe Rabbeinu. Once upon a time there was a Kohen Gadol that went into Kodesh Kedashim on Yom Kippur. That's all very nice. It's important to our tradition. But as far as the context of my life, the holiest place is sitting here at this moment. Me, in this moment, right here, right now. To quote a great university, nowhere but here. Nowhere but here. Okay? All right, let's see. Muva b'orachayim ha-kadosh, b'shem ha-ari ha-kadosh, l'orachayim ha-kadosh reveals to us an amazing secret in the name of the Arizal. Shenishmaso shel adam mischalekes l'nitzoytoyz rabim v'shonim. Instead of seeing your life as one long, drawn out experience, which on one level it is, all the pieces of my life are connected, but in a certain sense, every moment is a nitzutz of my neshama, is a spark, is a little shining moment for my neshama, a spark of life. Nishmaso shel adam, again, mischalekes lenitzotzos rabim vishonim. My soul is divided into lots of little pieces. Lots of little moments that can be elevated. And whatever soul energy I have, S-O-U-L, whatever soul energy I have, it's divided over the course of my life. Which means every day I have X amount of, you know, soulfulness to work on. It's not just about fixing my whole being, big picture. It's about today, what's today? Chaf Beis? Chaf Beis Cheshvan? Chaf Beis Mar Cheshvan, Tav Shin Pei, is a unique moment in time. For each and every one of us. And Hashem has granted us the opportunity to wake up this morning. Baruch Hashem. Not everyone has that tzchus. So we woke up this morning and we're here. Great. So we have X amount of soulful energy to carry us through the day and to elevate that spark, to do something with that nitzutz. Kasher kol nitzutz mechaya yom echad miyamei chayav. The Arizal says, Hashem gives us, so to speak, that little pellet of spiritual energy which corresponds to this day. Ukichol sher rabim hanitzotzos shonesh maso kein yichya yamim rabim. And again, to whatever amount of life God has given you, and energy, and nitzotzos Hashem has given you to work on, that is, those pieces make up the entirety of your life. Why does the Arizal, or better said, why does the Or HaChaim HaKadosh quote this Arizal in Parshas Vayechi? Because it says that Yaakov Avinu recognizes that his life is running out. And the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says that tzaddikim are able to be so aware that they're able to sense when their neshama is running out of sparks, when it's running out of energy. Very deep idea. Okay. So realize, again, that every day is, so to speak, a unique opportunity, a particular nitzutz that you're working on. Nimsa shebechol yom vayom nitin la'adam nitzutz acher chadash. So therefore, each and every day you're given a new spark. Each day, on the one hand, is connected to yesterday. On the other hand, it's a totally new day. Maybe that's part of the idea. When a person goes to sleep, Chazal say that sleep is the 60th of death. So yesterday is dead. Yesterday is done. Today, I'm born anew. Mamash, a whole new world. V'chol ma'isa tov she'osa v'osa yom, mitakein hatikunim b'nitzotos she'osa yom. And whatever I choose to do good today, right? Today is its own blank sheet of paper. From the time I woke up to the time I go to sleep, what do I want to make of today? V'lachein b'yamim ha'imuyuchadim b'shana. So therefore, on those days that we consider to be special days of the year, Kishabis v'moed, Aseres yimei tshuva, and the like, Yesh lahachmir yoser b'inyanei halacha. Right? We try to be extra sensitive on a Shabbos or a Yom Tov, Aseres yimei tshuva, k'mo shechmiru b'pas palter b'aseres yimei tshuva, like we're stringent about pasakum, and of eating non-Jewish baked but kosher bread during the Aseres yimei tshuva, like we learned about. Shelachor atzarach lahavin. He says in parentheses, "Memanav shach, im zo avera o pagam mamish." If this is really something to be avoided, madua lo yisnagu kol hashana bosochomer. Why don't we keep this stringency all year round? Ki nitzotze haneshama hapoalim eitzal adam b'yam kedoshim umiuchadim elo heim nitzotzos v'chalki neshama chiyuniim v'adinim bioser. So if I have X number of, you know, sparks that I'm trying to fix over the course of my lifetime, right? So the more important sparks, so to speak, are given to me on those days that are special days, like a Shabbos, or a Yom Tov, etc. Those soulful sparks are a little bit more adin, are a little bit more delicate. They require a little bit more attention. So on those days, we pay a little bit more attention. And that's normal. That's how we all feel on a Rosh Hashanah, and on a Yom Kippur, and on a Shabbos, as opposed to a regular Tuesday afternoon. Asher gam zilzul b'chumra kala ma'od pogemes b'ma'od. Because the soul is more sensitive at those times. So a small zilzul, a small disgrace, a fine, you know, misstep in halacha hurts that much more to that particular spark of the soul. But each day is its own world. Each day is its own opportunity. It's a very deep idea. Ubir advarim b'zeh, shekamo sheyesh ba'adam ramach evarim ushesagidim. Just like a person has 248 limbs and 365 sinews, 613, again, the spiritual makeup of a person's body, kein yesh b'nishmaso mibachinas komas shana ramach v'shesa. So too, in the komas shana, just like there's a komas ha'adam, there's the makeup of person from head to toe, and different parts of the body correspond to different mitzvos. So too, there's a certain you know, makeup, a build to the year, which is also somewhat divided into 248 and 365. There are specific days of the calendar that correspond again, to particular mitzvos, a particular averos, right? But the point is that each day, in a certain sense, is its own world. Mehem evarim ogidim, kamo nitzotos shibimechol regilim, shibahem enomazik, enonoig, bechumri yasera, o dibur mutter shachulin. The same way that certain body parts are more sensitive than other body parts. When I was in Torah Shraga last week, so we had they have a Shmiras Einayim club. So they asked me to speak. Okay, so I spoke to a group of guys. So I told them, I said, how do you know that your neshama is in your eye? So Svarma Kadoshim say that the eyes are the windows to the neshama. How do you know that? What's the proof of that idea? So there's a sefer called Or Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak of Radvil, and he writes, I think it's in Parshas Vayeshev, he writes that by the scene of Yehuda and Tamar, right, that's in Vayeshev, no? So by Yehuda and Tamar, it says that when he comes back and he's looking for the Isha Zona down by the crossroads, so he says, Ayeh HaKadesha Hi BeEinayim. What happened to the Kadesha? What happened to the harlot who was by the Einayim, right, by the crossroad? There was a woman, I met her the other week, she was at this spot, where is she? Now, what are you talking about? There's no prostitute who hangs out on this particular corner, and he's trying to figure out, who is that woman? Turns out it was his daughter-in-law, Tamar. Yeah, but he says, Ayeya Kadesha Hi BeEinayim. So says Rav Yitzchak of Radvil, he says, Ayeya Kadesha, where is Kedusha found? Hi BeEinayim. It's found in your eyes. Your eyes are very spiritual. Your eyes are deeply connected to your neshama. Okay, so a nice play on words, a Kadesha, Kedusha, Hi BeEinayim. Einayim means a crossroads, but he's learning it as your eyes. Okay, but then he brings a proof. He says, I'll bring you a simple proof that your eyes are very spiritual. He says, what's the one part of your body that utterly rejects any gashmius? What do I mean by gashmius? I mean earthliness, artsius. You take a little bit of dirt, right, and you put it in the palm of your hand. Now, you may not like to have the palm of your hand dirty, but okay, it'll be okay, you'll function, right? Most people can function like that. You put a little dirt on your arm, on your leg, put a little dirt in your ear. It might feel a little weird, but it's okay, right? Even a little dirt in your mouth, it doesn't taste particularly good, right? But when you get dirt in your eye, it makes a person crazy, right? A person can get a speck of dust in his eye, and it like, I can't function, right? If a rooster says, are you okay? Yeah, I got something in my eye. Just like, I can't, right? And it can make you crazy. The eye is super sensitive to any gashmius. Most parts of the body, right? You can poke your arm, you can poke your cheek, you can poke your neck. You poke your eye, all of a sudden there's like this major response. It's very delicate. And it's physically delicate because it's spiritually delicate. Ayeya kadesha hi be'einayim. So says Riyakum HaYashechter, there's different parts of the body that again, that are more spiritually sensitive. Just like there are certain days in the calendar year which are more spiritually sensitive. So speaking Lashon Hara on a regular Tuesday, right, is a big avera. But speaking Lashon Hara on Shabbos is a bigger avera because Shabbos is a time of v'daber davar, to be more guarded in the way that we talk on Shabbos. And the same thing is true for the holidays. Okay, let's turn the page to Kuf Yud Ches. Let's see where we go with this idea. Okay, let's go to the next paragraph. Tshuva be'es kriya shema alamita. V'lachein. What is the significance of making sure that one says shema before one goes to bed at night? Right? And why is it seen in the writings of the Svarim HaKadoshim as the zman of tshuva, as the zman of cheshbon ha-nefesh? Take a few minutes at the end of the day to make a calculation on that day. Why? I could finish my work, you know, that didn't work out today. I could finish it tomorrow. Not really. Tomorrow is really a different world. Hashem is mechadesh betuva b'chol yom tamid maaseh bereishis. Every day Hashem is recreating the world. To us it looks linear. It looks like it's just one long chain of events. From Hashem's perspective, each day is a blank sheet of paper. V'lachein eis kriya shema she'alamita. He eis tshuva. Therefore, the zman of kriya shema alamita, recapping my day, is the zman of tshuva. Why? Because this day is about to, in a certain sense, be put away forever. Again, you can always come back and do tshuva. But there's a certain perspective that we're supposed to have that each day is its own world. And it makes us more motivated to capture that day. And it makes it easier coming out of a bad day to have a good day the next day. That's why this is such an important yisod. And it's a spiritual reality. It's not just a psychological trick. V'ayin shari kedusha or lerev chaim vital. Look in the student of the Arizal, Rav Chaim Vital's writings, Shari Kedusha in the first Chelek. Hagam shekocha shel tshuva mawil tamid. Of course, tshuva works at all times. Aval sha'a zu hi misugelis biyoser l'tshuva. But at the end of the day, as we so to speak, put away that piece of day, that nitzutz, that spark that you were working on that day, it's a unique opportunity to recap that day. Vahezber bezal piyamor, and based on what we've explained, it makes a lot of sense. Kihi shah machras, terem holech lo hanitzutz shel hayom hacholef. At that moment when the nitzutz, or the spark of this particular day, is about to be exchanged for the possibility of tomorrow, uva b'mekomo nitzutz acher, and now you're about to become a new person with a new mission statement and a new opportunity. Va'az hishah ru'uya l'tshuva v'zbonnes ala avar. It's a moment of reflection, contemplating and doing tshuva over what was. Mashapal benitzat shahayalo. How did I treat this particular day? They say a mashal, a teacher once walked into a classroom and saw the students were very tired and said to the students, wake up, wake up. Today we have an opportunity to have a special guest. A special guest who only agreed to come this one time. They're never going to come again, and you've never met them before. And the students are all excited. Who is it? Who is it? And he says, today. Today is the opportunity. Right? Today is the opportunity that you've never met before and you'll never meet again. So what are you going to make of it? It's a powerful idea. It can seem demanding, but it's also very inspiring. So realize that this nitzot that you've been working on, this day, Chav Beis Mar Cheshvan Tov Shin Pei, is a once-in-history opportunity. So you say, well, someone else will do a good job today. I'm taking the day off. Lubavitcher Rebbe didn't take one vacation day. From the time he became Rebbe until the time he left this world, Lubavitcher Rebbe had zero vacation days. That's unbelievable. A lot of great Rebbes took vacation days. You need it for your mental health. Lubavitcher Rebbe did not take one vacation day. On his 70th birthday, Lubavitcher Rebbe said, in honor of turning 70 this year, you would think, maybe I'll give myself 70 minutes to put my feet up and relax. No. In honor of turning 70, I'm going to create 70 new projects, 70 new Torah institutions, yeshivas, seminaries, koilim, mikvahs, chabad houses, v'chula. 70 for 70. Right? He wasn't, you know, figuring out how soon can I retire. It's unbelievable. Let's get into Madrega. So again, this is a moment to reflect as you say goodbye to this day and the nitzot, that spark, that divine, spiritual, soulful spark of that day, as it's about to be traded in for a new sheet, a new blank piece of paper. And it's an opportunity, what, letakno, to touch it up. If the day needs a little extra, letzachzecho, literally means like to polish it, as I'm giving it back to Hashem that day, shine the day a little bit, through vidui, through tshuva, as I prepare myself to take on a new mission, a new day, make sure that the one that I'm giving back, you know, it looks nice. Hashem gives you an opportunity as you're falling asleep to say, you know what, here's a couple of things I want to just quickly touch up. I should have done this, and I can still do tshuva right now before I, of course you can always do tshuva. But b'shas ma'isa, when a person is responsive right away to that particular day, that's a chashuv thing. In brackets, the small little paragraph. U'v'derech agav muva, and in passing, it's mentioned, shekefi hezgabris ha'odom l'kro kriyas shema shalamita b'kavana la'achar ayefus hayom. When a person strengthens himself to recite kriyashma with kavana, when you're so tired and you just want to collapse into bed, right? And you don't want to, you just want to fall asleep already. But you strengthen yourself to try to end your day in the proper way, the way a Jew starts his day, moda ani, hopefully in the proper way. Kein zocha lifnei yestalkuso, limser nishmaso mitoch tshuva, ve'amunas hayichud karoi. It's such a special thing. It's such a schus for a person to give back his soul. It's b'siras nefesh. When you go to sleep, it's a form of dying. So what do you want to do in your dying moments? Right? You can fall asleep watching a TV show on your cell phone. Right? Or you can fall asleep saying, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The way Rabbi Kiva, when he died, gave back his soul, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. You can take it as a moment of thoughtful reflection to try to wake up tomorrow the right way. Right? Or you could just, you know, kind of disappear from a day that could have been better, it should have been better. It's an opportunity to fix. Va'ayin sham b'shari kedusha chelak aleph shar aleph shashena hi kein misa katana. Look there in the writings of Rav Chaim Vital, where again he emphasizes this concept that sleep is a form of miniature death, which means that as I close my eyes, I'm being moser nefesh, right, for Hashem if I'm doing it mitoch kriyashma. Yeah. Okay.
Like, it seems like a sports season, like let's say basketball teams, how each game comes after practice, which had a game before, which had a practice and a shoot around, and so there's a continuity, and you build throughout.
Mm-hmm.
But each individual time, it's an entirely new slate. Like the score starts 0-0
right.
At the beginning of each game. It's a new team.
It's a good mushel.
Completely different thing. Like, you might even have a different start with that.
Right. Very good. Good mushel. Yeah.
How does like to be off in the future?
Right. If I'm so focused on living day to day, so how do I daven towards my future? Why now? Why can't I daven towards my future?
You're looking at every day for like a specific goal. Are you supposed to look at like a future goal?
I mean, should I just daven for what I need today, or should I? Right, where do I daven? Where does davening for sort of like the bigger things in life? You're saying. Like I daven, I want to get married. That's probably not happening today, unless I'm engaged and it's the day of my wedding, right? Okay, could happen, right? But what's the role of davening, so to speak, for the bigger things? Okay, so I think again, like any concept in Torah, it has to be balanced with other concepts in Torah, right? Meaning, ein hachanami, we do have to be thoughtful and think about the bigger picture of our life, but there's an avoda of not being overwhelmed by the big picture and being able to, so to speak, break life into the smaller nitzotzos. So I think there's a balance of that. But it's a good question to think about that a little bit. Yeah.
I think that you need to have long term goals, but you have to look at today and what you have to do now in order to get there.
Right.
You decide in 1 year I want to be doing this, but
Lamaisa, I get there by right.
It's true.
It's true. When I was in Mavasaret last week, so I got to catch the tail end of the Rosh Yeshiva's shir. He was giving a shir to the guys, Rabbi Isaacson, Shlita. And he was talking about the power of incremental change in a person's life to be able to make, you know, major changes. He gave a mashal of a person who's in a room and there's a block of ice, right? And he raises the temperature 1 degree. Nothing happens. He raises the temperature 1 degree. Nothing happens. He raises the temperature 1 more degree. Nothing happens. Finally, he raises it to a point where the ice starts to melt. Right? So it's not, oh, changing it from here to here causes ice to melt. You have to, the only way to get to there is by first, you know, raising it 1 degree at a time. Right? So those steps along the way that didn't seem to do anything are also an important part of the process. So he quoted, he said that apparently in the San Antonio Spurs locker room, apparently in the San Antonio Spurs locker room, there's a quote on that says, which I'm about to try to find. Someone help me? I got it. Hold on. San Antonio. And you'll know right away what I said in response. Here, San Antonio Spurs locker room quote. In the corner of the San Antonio Spurs locker room, there's a framed quotation from the muckraking social reformer Jacob Rice. When nothing seems to help, it reads, I go back and look at the stonecutter hammering away at his rock, perhaps 100 times, without as much as a crack showing in it. Trying to break through a stone, and he hits the stone, nothing happens. He hits it 100 times, and nothing happens. But then on the 101st blow, all of a sudden, it shatters. So I said to Rabbi Isaacson, I said, Shkoyach, thank you very much. Now I know, upshot in the Gemara and Chagiga on Daf Tes. But the Gemara says you can't compare a person who learns something 100 times to 101 times. Right? Mamasha quote on the wall of the San Antonio Spurs locker room. Because you can hit the rock 100 times, you can learn the daf 100 times. I don't get it. Right? I could daven 100 Shmona Esrays and see no change. Nothing's happening. But maybe that 101st Shmona Esray, Shemaim will open up. Right? So the Vard is, it's not that the first 100 times did nothing. To your eye, you saw no change. But there's no question that each strike against the rock, right, was creating that. It wasn't that you hit it that 101st time, the strongest time, that's why it shattered. each time, in some you know, micro way, the rock was starting to dislodge. You didn't see anything, and you're hammering away. It's the famous. I'll say mushel, but it's not a mushel. The scientific reality of how bamboo grows. Anyone know about this? You water bamboo for 5 years; it grows about 3 inches. You water the spot on the ground every day, literally for 5 years. It barely moves at all. After about 5 years of properly tending to the plant without seeing any results, I think in 6 weeks, maybe in 3 weeks, something like that, it shoots up 90 feet. After 5 years of nothing, literally nothing, just watering and watering and watering, nothing. You know, so that's an unbelievable thing. And a person should understand, right, that yes, there is sort of a big picture that's unfolding, right, through those little nitzotzos of each and every day of my life. Yeah.
How do you do it the correct way?
If I don't see results, right? That's a good question. Right? Maybe I'm just positioning the tools wrong. You know, maybe I'm not hammering in the right way. And it's never going to give way. Could be. But again, if a person is, you know, this stone cutter was trained by a master stone cutter, right? So his rabbi taught him. I also didn't see results right away. Trust me, you got to just stick at it. You got to keep going, keep hammering away, and you'll see the results. So if he's a ma'amin, if he trusts his rabbi, then he'll do it. Right? If he only believes what he can see, if seeing is believing for him, so he says, I don't see any results. I'm not going to stand there watering a plant for 5 years without seeing any results. Right? But if he trusts the process, so then he's able to say, you know what? I know that eventually there's going to be this awesome breakthrough. Yeah. Yeah, he could sense that his nitzotzos are running out.
Yeah, so I heard that when somebody's dying, he knows already 30 days in advance.
Yeah, so they thought that Or Chaim at the end of Vayechi talks about that, yeah. That inyan of a tzaddik recognizing that his end is near. You see it also by Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah. Again, I don't know to what degree a regular person feels that or senses that, but certainly by tzaddikim they have a clarity in that, yeah.
So this idea, I read the book Living in the Presence.
Oh yeah, me too.
Yeah, so I'm saying this is like kind of the
it's a good book.
Of this book, and I was just thinking about yeah. It. It's like a really good pun that also fits into the things, the present.
Right, living in the present, in the presence. Right, right. Yeah, being able to embrace the moment. But it's just so true. This is not just a vart. This is mamish life. Right? I mean, there are people who cannot have a productive day today because of yesterday or because of tomorrow. And that's a tragedy. Ki'ilu lo harachta yamim, as we're about to see. Okay, Chavra, as you know, with awesome Hashkacha Pratis, we always land on a piece that has to do with the Parsha. I have no idea how that works, but that's how it works. Look at this. V'zeu inyan enemreitz al tzadikim sheim boim bayamim. This is the inyan that we find in Parshas Chayisara. V'Avram zokin bo bayamim. Avram grew old and he came with all of his days. What's the idea of boim bayamim? Shekol yemei chayayim hayu maleim. Tzadikim live full days. They come to the Olam HaEmes with their days. In other words, each day, which is its own world, is accounted for. It's not just like overall they pass the course. The tzadik understands the value of each moment of each day. V'netaknu kol nitzotzei hakadosha shahaya bahem b'chol yemei chayayim. All the sparks of holiness, all those sacred sparks. V'zeh perish ha-pasuk, v'yiyu chayei sarah mei ashana v'esrim shana v'shev ashanim. The Arizal explains in a very deep way, Hasara lived to 127. What is 127? So he says it corresponds to the 10 Sviros. Says the Arizal, in the Likutei Torah in this week's Parsha, Meya, Sarah lived 100, Meya represents the Svira, the top of the chain, Keser. Esrim, 20 corresponds to two which work together, which is Chochmah and Bina. And then 7 refers to the 7 lower spheros. Sheva, hu Sheva, spheros, tachtonos. So what does that mean? Sarah's life was 127. Again, the hundreds column, the tens column, and the ones column. Keser, and then two which are one, Chochmah and Bina always work hand in hand. And then the 7 lower spheros, 127. Being Merambe stole all the spheros. What does that mean? It means very simply. It means a lot on a deep level, but on a simple level, Hainu Shesara Hishlima Koma Shleima Shalshanim. That Sarah's life was full from top to bottom, from beginning to end. V'chein etzel Avram. By Avram also we find it says that Avram was old. Ba bayamim, he came with his days. Shekol nitut v'chol chelek neshama shekol yom v'yom tukan etzlo karoi. Avram was able to give an accounting for each day of his life. Every moment of his life was purposeful and was full. And that's how tzaddikim lived their lives. Not allowing a single day to go by without making it a purposeful day. So now we can understand the depth of what Rabbi Nachman says. Please turn the page in the piece that we started with. Likutei Moran 272. Shekol yom hu olam acher lagamri. Underline it. You should put it on your wall. Shekol, when you wake up in the morning, the first thing you should see. Shekol yom hu olam acher lagamri. Every day is an entirely different world. It never existed and never will exist again. It doesn't matter how poorly you did yesterday. It doesn't matter how nervous you are about tomorrow. Right now, I have a choice to choose to serve Hashem, period. So now we understand Rabbi Nachman, based on all these introductions. It's a different spark of existence. And if I have a really great day, sometimes a person thinks like tomorrow I can take it easy, you know? Tomorrow I don't have to try so hard because I was such a good Jew yesterday. It's not true. Each day your Yiddishkeit is its own world. So I can't use my success of today as an excuse for tomorrow. I have to say each day is its own opportunity. It's its own unique world. Each day is its own thing. Amazing idea. Very powerful idea. Okay, let's go to the next paragraph. Ha'ikar hu ahove. Middle of the page. V'lachein tzricha lios kol avudaso shel odam b'yisaskus im ahove. So therefore, the very thing that Amalek is trying to block out and steal away from us is the thing that we need to focus on more than anything else. To be in the moment. To be present in the moment. To live in the present and in the presence. Lidog b'chol leiv lo lahazniach shum rega me'ahova asher lefanav. Not to squander, not to lose a moment that is being gifted to you. As Rabbeinu explains, she'yachshov she'ein lo ba'olamo ki im osa hayom v'osa hashah she'omed ba. Rabbi Nachman elsewhere, in the Shivchei Haran, it says that Rabbi Nachman sometimes would start a day, and he wasn't happy with how the day started. So Rabbi Nachman would say, okay, I'm starting the day again. Let me start the day again. It's 10:30 in the morning. You can't pretend you just woke up. No, yes I can. Why not? Every day is its own world. Every second is its own world. So why should I be held back by, so this morning wasn't so good? So what? Good. So decide, close your eyes. Take a breath, right? V'yipach ba'apav nishmas chayim. Receive your soul again. And here we go. Take a deep breath and start over. Mamish from that point. It's dishonest. No, it's not. The Emes HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you, with each breath of life, Hashem is giving you a new experience, a new existence. From our worldly perspective, it looks all connected, but from Hashem's perspective, every moment is an opportunity. Uve Emes Alahove Kal Yoser Lishlot Ve'ein Sarach Lezeh Chochma Gedola Kim Tmimus Pshuta Ledas Lefi Ha'es Vazman Anochachi Ma Derami Alei. It says Rabbi Nachman, it makes life so much easier this way. When a person is able to say, all I can control is the moment, you don't need a Chachma Gedola for this. It's the Chachma Gedola, it's all of our cheshbonos that get us all, you know, all confused and overwhelmed. Right? I have this term paper I gotta, you know, take care of. Okay, but right now you're not doing it. Right now you're sitting here learning Torah Rabbi Nachman. So be here. Yeah, but it's hard for me to concentrate because my brain, that's a mistake. Be pashut. Right now, where are you? I'm sitting here learning Lekhet Amarim. Great, so be here learning Lekhet Amarim. It's the only place you need to be right now. To recognize that, to be able to say to oneself with Tmimus and Pshitus, that the present moment is Mad de Ramya Alei. That is what is literally Ramya Alei, like thrown upon me. This is it. This is what's happening. Eiza Sur Meira Ashaych Achshav Avuro. O Eiza Ase Tov Muta Allah B'Shav Regezeh. Right? What is being asked of me right now? What should I avoid? What should I choose? Kegon. Bahalichaso b'rachov. A person's walking down the street. What's the avoda when I'm walking down the street? To ask yourself, what does Hashem want me to do when I walk down the street? Yeah, but there's other things that... Whoa, don't be such a chacham. What is the avoda of a Jew walking down the street? So he says, one thing could be, l'sur meira, lizar lishmar einav mira ospira, to make it down the street without having my eyes stray. Okay, that's a good avoda. Shemati b'shem Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal. I heard in the name of a great Rosh Yeshiva, Muflag b'yirasa, well known for his God-fearing nature, Sha'amar Shabbais Seitzel Liderech Miskonein Hulakayim Shtei Zihirios Bavodas Hashem. That whenever he hits the road, he always reminds himself, he prepares himself to be Makayim two things very, very, very well. Two very choshev mitzvos. Right? It's not just dead time getting from point A to point B. When I'm traveling, there's an avoda for that. What's the avoda? This Rosh Yeshiva said, I think to myself, I want to be careful with regard to Shmir HaSeinayim. I want to fulfill the constant mitzvah of the Torah of Lo Sasur Achrei Levavchem Achrei Nechem, to make sure that I guard my mind and my eye and my thoughts. Okay, and second of all, V'nishmartim Ma'od L'Nafsho Seichem. I want to be very careful when I'm driving. To what? To make sure I drive in a way that's safe. The Torah says you should protect your soul very much. Zihiras Yisera Mitu'unos Zerachim Rachman Al-Islam. I pay close attention to the traffic signs. Right, to the traffic signals. That's a mitzvah. O ba'amdo litfila, and if I'm davening mincha somewhere along the way, right, even though I'm not in my normal seat in shul, whatever it is, lanos od amen. Od amen yehesh me'rava v'kavana. O bizmani ha'yeshiva, lilmod o lahagos b'torah. Each situation calls for a different avoda. And a Jew who's mindful of the moment says, okay, Hashem, what do you want from me right now? Some of us were learning last night in the Avodas Pnim. Right? There's always a Avodas Hashem in front of us. What it is changes from one situation to the next. So the big Rosh Yeshiva, is his avoda when he's in the car to think about the sheer klali he's getting? No. His avoda in the car is to make sure he drives safely and doesn't get into a car accident. That's not a mess. It is. And when he drives past some billboard with a scantily clad woman on it, so he looks away. He guards his eyes. He's a person of mitzvos, shmir seinayim, shmir saguf. Those are real things. Lachtov od shas liman b'li lahafsik b'emsa. When he's in yeshiva, he tries to learn with hasmada. That's the avoda. Kol ma sheshayach lizman ahove hazeh asher lefanov. To do what each moment calls him to do. Okay, turn to the last page of the piece. And he ends with a well-known story. It's a story that you initially hear and you think, wow, what a gadol. But then, chevra, it could also be you. Maybe not exactly on this level, but every person could, at some point in his life, experience firsthand this story. Okay, last paragraph on page Kuf Chaf. Shemati misaprim al Talmud Chacham Muflag Migidolei Hador HaKodem. They tell a story about a great Talmud Chacham from the previous generation. He was known in particular for his great diligence in Torah study. He was known for his great diligence in Torah study. Shibiro Shakdanuso Zochalis Ayamas Ashas Kama Vakama Pamim. He was Zochat to finish Shas many, many times over the course of his life. Pam Achas Be'es Siyumo Asashas Arech Suda Chashuva Lechvor Hasiyum. So one time he finished Shas and he made a big Siyum. Mamish a big Siyum. He invited a lot of people. He made a big to do out of it, served a really nice meal. Vashalo So B'nei Be'eso Lesiba Sasimcham Yuchedes Dafkova Pamazos. So his family said, you finish Shas all the time. Why are you making a big siyum? What's special about this siyum? And I see you're like particularly excited about this siyum. What is it, like the 100th time you finish Shas or something? What was it about this siyum? You finish Shas many times over. Siyum zeh choshuv atzli biyoser, heishiv l'sho'alav. He responded to those who inquired, "This siyum is particularly special to me. Because this siyum was not part of my regular learning schedule. This siyum was collected, nitztaber, tibur, was gathered from what? From little moments here and there, free moments here or there. Kagon, bizmani nesios v'kadoma. When I was standing at a bus stop, waiting for a ride, I pulled out my pocket, little shas, and I read a couple of lines, and the bus came and I got on the bus. V'chein ba'ez ochel. Right? When I was sitting by the table, I was eating, and you know, I was waiting a moment for the food to be brought to the table, or whatever it is. You know, I put something in the microwave, and I was waiting, instead of staring at it, watching the clock tick down, a minute 30, a minute 29, a minute 28. So I chopped the Mishnah. I chopped a couple of lines. Tamid ha'isi imi gemara katana. I always had a small gemara by my side. Imam malaysias calls mane apnuyim. And with it, I was able to fill all of those, so to speak, dead moments of life. Uvitztabrit shel zmanim elu zachisi baruch Hashem l'sayim kachas kol ha'shas kulo. And a couple lines at a time. Now, obviously, this is a person who knew shas well enough to, you know, to gobble up shas like this. But literally, 30 seconds here, a minute there, 2 minutes here. Right? Sitting by a chuppah, learning for a couple minutes, just waiting for the wedding to start. Waiting for a bus. Yeah, standing online in Golan, waiting to place your order. Or in grandma's, waiting to order your pizza. Grab a pasuk, grab a mishnah, grab a something. Have that pocket mishnayos, whatever it is. This is not part of my regular Seder. It's not part of my regular teaching, my regular learning. I grab those moments that most people think are whatever, they don't count. But I grab those moments and I'm proud of myself. And I feel an awesome sense of accomplishment, knowing that what? That those little moments actually add up to something. I think this story, I was doing it on my phone a minute ago, I think this story is told about Rav Zelig Reuven Bengis. Rav Bengis was the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim. He passed away in 1953, and I'm pretty sure that they say this story about him. Although I think I once heard maybe a similar story about Rav Moshe Feinstein. What'd you say?
The elevator
shots. The elevator shots, yeah, up and down in the elevator? Okay, it could be. Anyway, Rav Bengis was a big goon. Wrote a 7-volume work on Shas called Lefalgos Reuven. A big goon. But he made a big siyum in celebration of his awesome accomplishment. V'yesh letzayin ki yeshlam anoshim shebeglal is askusam notelis mehem es kol yomam yefshar lehem bishum ponim v'ofen lesayim es ha-shas v'svarim acherim ela b'ofen kazeh. And there are many people, by the way, this is the only way you're going to get a Shas. You're busy at work, 9 to 7 at night, or whatever it is. Who knows what your hours are one day, right? So what's going to be with Shas? You can say, I'm not the type of guy to learn Shas. Or you know what? Maybe once over the course of my whole life. Maybe I can't learn Daf Yomi every day, but maybe on my ride to work or whatever, during my lunch break, I can read 10 lines of Gemara out of an art school Gemara. Yeah, it's never going to add up to it. It will. It'll add up to Mesechtos. It'll add up to Siddurim. And maybe it'll add up to us. Lachtof es hazmanim apnuyim, grab moments, shall bain you be, those in-between moments, to learn a little bit, Shabbos between the elders, when the gabbai is busy making a mishaberach, so bring a sefer to shul. Accomplish something during that time. Shekeilu yesh l'chol adam, every person has these moments if he wants them, ulam tzrichim leze ziruz rav vis oris miuchedus. But you have to be the type of Jew who values and appreciates the power of the moments of every day, and again, has this hashkafa that the sparks, right? That each day is its own opportunity. And each moment, in a certain sense, is its own opportunity. How do I want to etch this moment into time? Don't be overwhelmed by this. Don't be burdened by it. Oh my gosh, what an awesome responsibility. I can't waste a second. That's not the point. We're all going to end up wasting more than a few seconds. Right? But there are also seconds which are very much within reach, that if we just become mindful and driven and understand the value of a couple of seconds now, regardless of anything that ever happened in the past or anything that's ever going to happen in the future, then Hayom and Bekola Tishmo, like Eliyahu said, if we can just seize the moment, then Bezrat Hashem, we'll see the Gula Shlema. All right. Gevaldik Torah.